You're listening to the Rubbish Trip Podcast. Two no-waste nomads talk trash with people in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Emma Hecker is someone who greatly inspires us. In 2015, Emma started Hecker Homemade Herbals, a business selling beautiful herbal tea that she grows herself on her south-facing urban garden in Nelson. Nowadays, her tea still comes from this property, but has also expanded to include growers all over New Zealand. Unlike most New Zealand tea suppliers, 90% of the herbal teas Emma sells are New Zealand grown. The tea is also totally organic, the blends are delicious, and to top it off, Hecker Homemade Herbals has recently embarked on an impressive pathway to zero waste. We just love it. Emma's path to growing and selling tea is not what you might imagine. Her studies were in fine arts, and she was an art and photography teacher for many years at high school. In 2008, though, she began making documentary films about nature, art, and green business through her company Red Hecker Productions, beginning with the highly acclaimed Hours New Zealand Nature Children's documentary. In September 2011, this endeavour led her and her 7-year-old son Connor to take on a 6-month film trip across New Zealand, documenting the stories of a wide range of Kiwis working and living in environmentally sustainable and economically viable ways. This trip resulted in the documentary Our Green Roadie, and if you haven't seen it, you can check it out for free on Vimeo, along with Emma Hecker's other films. So in this podcast, we talk to Emma about how the experience of filming Our Green Roadie inspired her to start Hecker Homemade Herbals and to run the business with integrity, producing teas that are delicious, affordable, and truly eco. Being environmentally conscious is clearly something that comes quite naturally to Emma, so we started off our kōrero with her by asking her where she thinks this comes from.
I guess going back to childhood, my mum was always somebody who grew her own veggies, made her own bean sprouts. We were the family that had the mung bean sprouts in the airing cupboard. No one else did. You know, she made our lunches. She never bought things like packets of biscuits or fizzy drinks and things like that, probably because we didn't have much money. So we grew up without a lot of packeted stuff. Everything was made. So living that way was always just what we did. But I think having my son Connor, who's now nearly 15, right from the beginning with him, my awareness of everything changed. So 15 years ago, really. And it's been a journey since, and I'm still well on a journey. There are so many mindsets that are stuck that you have to change. And every change you make, you realise more changes are necessary. So yeah, it's a journey. But you know, I do really worry about what we've done and how things can be fixed, and I worry about the future for our teenagers and our children right now. And yeah, so I guess I try to be really mindful, and yeah, it's a process.
Often we hear people say when they had their kids, that was what switched them, or at least made them really aware of things they might have been doing before that they just didn't think twice about,
and yes,
or things that they took for granted that everyone is doing, that it's like, actually, why are we doing that damaging
absolutely
thing?
I think the questioning of why was huge for me, and I made some films. That the first film that I made, the Hours DVD, was for my son, basically, like when he was 2, the ideas started for that. And it was all about loving our land, creatures and environment. And the accepted thing was showing real dreadful stuff. And I'd never seen any of this before. And I watched things and I was horrified at what was being promoted for young children. I thought it was terrible. And that's actually why I made that first film, was I made it for my son. And then it just happened that it went big into everywhere, which was good, like a whole generation. You know, my thing was I was able to influence a generation with something that I made for my son. And that was all about caring, really. Because if we don't care, then none of it matters. Yeah.
Mm.
speaking about journeys, one of the films of yours that we have watched is Our Green Roadie, which was awesome. How did you even get to the point where you decided you're going to take a whole year off to travel around all of New Zealand with your son, meeting people, filming? I mean, it's a massive undertaking.
Yes, it was completely massive. Well, I actually had like what I call a download. Something came really big into my head and into my heart, and it was just something that I had to do. So that was the big thing behind it. It's really hard to put into words, but the motivation was that I wanted to showcase that you didn't have to be in business just to make money, and I wanted to showcase people who were doing things that made a living for themselves, might even make a massive living, might even make tons of money, but what they were doing didn't wreck the planet. It made things better. And so that was my big motivation. And also in there was that while we were doing that, I wanted to find what my kind of calling was within that, to create a business that also didn't wreck the planet but gave us a living. Yeah. So there was a big picture and a personal picture.
Yeah. So like inspiration for others, but also for yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to be able to do something with a south-facing steep section that really had not a lot going for it. That's in permafrost nearly for 5 weeks of the winter. And I thought, you know, like if I can do something with what I've got, then that might inspire other people, that you don't have to have a great lifestyle block and all this money to make a difference. Yeah.
So can you explain what it is that you did with your south-facing permafrost-ridden property in Nelson?
Well, basically, dug up the lawns and made gardens and green-cropped and mulched and prepared the soil and planted a whole lot of herbs, which became the basis for the first year and a half of all the teas, herbal teas that I made. So I created a herbal tea business.
And I mean, I guess there are herbal tea businesses in New Zealand already, but what is it about your Heke homemade herbals that's particularly unique?
Probably that 90% of the herbs that I use are New Zealand grown. So it started off where I grew everything, but the demand outweighed my supply. So I started, all the connections and the people that I know, I started reaching out to people and saying, hey, could you grow this, or are you growing this? And I've got a good network of New Zealand growers. So that's one of our unique things. So there's very little, it's only what doesn't grow in New Zealand that we import, pretty much. Sometimes we just run out of herbs and have to buy them in, but all the time we're streamlining that. So yeah. So that's one of our unique aspects.
It's pretty amazing, actually. In almost all of our foods, we hardly grow anything in New Zealand anymore, and yet we eat a lot of things that could grow in New Zealand.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we could be growing so much more than we are. We don't really need to import an awful lot, I don't think.
And what are the main reasons you're doing that? Is it purely carbon miles, or are there other reasons that you wanted to grow things in New Zealand, or even on your own property?
It's multi-levelled in lots of reasons. A lot of it is that, well, simply we can grow things here, so why not do that rather than have all the plastic, air miles, everything that goes into bringing something here, basically.
I guess you also have more control over the product too, right? Like you grow it, you dry it yourself.
Yes. So I know where it's grown. People generally harvest and courier it straight to me. So I get it pretty much freshly picked, and then I get to dry it, and it's all air dried. So it's not been forced. There's no electricity used, no anything. It's natural air drying in a dedicated space. And yeah, so I like that aspect as well.
It's really interesting how you said you wanted to do something with a property that was not much going for it in South Facing. And you know, a lot of people, when they get inspired to do something environmentally minded, they often think of, you know, let's go to a community that there's already lots happening and I can kind of slot in. But that's quite a different approach to, well, let's take something that's, you know, run down and potentially not doing needs rescuing, you know, or rejuvenating.
Yes.
And I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a cool
Thank
approach.
You. Well, to me, the section wasn't doing anything other than it required lawn mowing and weed eating, two things I can't stand doing and I see as a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
And also herbs are really hardy and they'll grow. Mm. You know, a lot of herbs will grow even through the drought that we've had, through frost in the winter. You know, nothing has died. Yeah, it just seemed like a really natural thing to do, and I've always been interested in herbs. But yeah, I just wanted to do something that hadn't been done as well, and that's just a personality thing. I like to do that sort of thing. Yeah. That's what, it's another one of the things that, makes me happy.
We talked about how much of a massive undertaking to do the Our Green Roadie, and not only the leading up to the trip and doing the trip, but then also going through all that material of all the interviews and turning it into the fabulous documentary that it is. But in doing that process, did you find you were reflecting on the people that you met and some of the ideas that came through, and that kind of really gave you a different perspective on where you wanted to take what you're doing now?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we got to make friends and got to really know like everybody that we interviewed. So the overwhelming thing was that everybody that we filmed were people that kind of leapt out of bed in the morning like, yay, yay, I'm going to work. You're like, yay, my life is my work. And to find that you could make a living and you could run a business that didn't wreck the planet, and that you loved, you could follow your passions and make something, create something, make it work. I love that. And so, yes, like editing was really difficult, which is why the film ended up so blooming big. I probably should have made lots of smaller ones, I don't know. But it was really difficult to edit out anything because people had so many things to say. Everybody that we interviewed had an amazing story. It took me 3 months of research to narrow it down to those people. And there were lots of people that I missed out that I could have interviewed as well. I think everybody had like a really good heart and good reason as to why they were doing what they were doing. And I loved that. It was the most incredible and inspirational journey. And even now I still think of people and think of things that people have said. And it was made a massive difference to me, real influence.
It's interesting because on the rubbish strip too, we're travelling around and meeting lots of people doing amazing things, and you really get this sense of just how much amazing stuff is happening, but it's so much of it flies under the radar.
Yeah.
It's so like underappreciated.
Yes, I think you know that was another main motivator, because we don't ever hear those stories. We do more now, like since I made the Green Roadie, there have been television, I think there are things happening, but prior to that there really was nothing. Nobody was showcasing what was happening out there. People had very fixed ideas, oh, green business or eco business, yeah, right, well that's kind of for hippies or for, and so it was one of my main things to mainstream. So it was, I tried to showcase as many different things that were happening, saying, hey, there's a lot going on and there's way more now. Yeah. But yes, most of it, it's, you know, we don't hear those stories.
Yeah. So how have you noticed things have changed, you know, say, since you've started Heke Homemade Herbals, in terms of how the general population has been interested in waste and carbon miles and all those sorts of things that they might look for in a product and business?
People's habits, consuming habits, are definitely changing. People want to know where things are made and how they're made, and how they're packaged, and they want to know a story behind things that they buy, and they want to be assured that if they're buying a zero waste product, then it is zero waste. They want to know if it's local, if they can buy something locally. That's become a real focus for people. Like, even the general public, I feel, much, much more inclined to buy something local. So that's a good move. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how in Heke Homemade Herbals the steps you're taking to reduce waste, both in your customer facing product but also up the supply chain?
So with my New Zealand growers and with myself, everything we do is zero waste. So from the seed to the seedling to when we harvest, anything that's not used in a tea gets composter goes straight back in to grow more herbs. The air drying and things like that, the blending, everything's done by hand. Nothing is used. Herbs are stored in containers. To individual customers, we then package in what are home compostable bags. They're our smallest bag, and they are really our first taste that customers get. But once they become a repeat customer, they often will, and we give all the options for a completely waste-free, bulk and affordable option. We supply cafes and restaurants and shops with our tea, so we have a wholesale side as well, and those are always couriered in. We reuse boxes, and people have the option of getting teas from us in paper bags as long as they are going to put the teas straight into containers. And some people opt for Ziploc bags, which can be reused. Obviously, we prefer the former idea with the paper bags, but we'll go with the Ziploc bags if they're going to be reused or if they come back to us to be refilled.
So yeah. You do have a refill option as well, or people always can send you their own?
Yeah, always. And people can send their own containers. We haven't got any big wholesale customers that do that yet. Mm. Logistically, I don't know how that works, but I'm really interested in finding a way to make it work. Some kind of container that can be compressed, made small to come back to me. Yeah, so work in progress and have ideas happening with that, but very keen to offer that.
Focusing on our green rodeo, you know, when people watch the documentary, they're seeing kind of that finished story about your year, but there's all the stuff that wouldn't have been there about how busy you would have been, how full on it would have been, on the road full time, meeting people, recording, all that kind of stuff, and you, both of you together. You know, was it tiring doing Our Green Roadie, and how did you find space to have downtime, and what does downtime even mean in the context of travelling full time? Yeah, yes. How did you grapple with that side of things?
So we travelled in a really small van, so a Nissan Serena. We had a bed built in the back with lots of storage for all the film gear and food and stuff underneath. But basically, it was my then 7-year-old son and I in a small van for a long time. Yeah, so it was always really full on. As soon as we'd get to a place, it would be filming immediately. People had stories. They just talked and talked and talked. It was very busy. And we were often staying with the people as well, so there was no kind of let up. But what I would do, I had it so well planned, we would have days off in between seeing people. So by days off, we might book into a camping ground or go to a dock site, go somewhere really nice and just chill out and recharge. And I did find that in camping grounds there were lots of tourists with children, so I kind of got to meet kids from all over the world play. So that was really good. He learned a lot and made a lot of friends along the way, so that was important so that he was happy. But really, when you're travelling, there isn't a lot of downtime. I mean, if we booked into a camping ground, I'd be trying to do some washing, trying to you know, my son's gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, so there were no real loaves of bread that we could buy anywhere. So often I'd be like baking bread and things like that for the next, you know, nothing was easy.
Do you see crossover between that full-on, what you did with Our Green Roadie in running a small business, like that same thing of the risk of you really have to take time to have downtime because you're kind of living it all the time, especially you run at the beginning, you're growing your herbs in at your home. I think it's a question that maybe a lot of us are grappling with at the moment, with social media and devices bringing work to us all the time. And I think a lot of millennials are wanting to create their own career or life, which means those boundaries are not always very clear. Yes. Do you have any advice around that or experience?
Well, a lot of experience of there initially being no boundaries at all. So I was on all the time. And that comes with a price because you are never relaxed and you're never having what is kind of your own life. So you're always, I found initially social media was huge for my business. So I was talking with individuals constantly, and people would have no problem messaging me in the middle of the night and expecting an answer. And initially, because I wanted to build relationship and build the business, I would answer straight away. So I got well caught up in everything and got really, really tired and exhausted. And it also, that being on all the time, also impacted on how much actual work I could get done. So I had to step back and look at that. And it's probably only been in the last year, maybe 2 years, that I've found a balance with that. And I also created a website which took a lot of the one-to-one backwards and forwards messaging of things, kind of streamlined processes. But I have a friend who's very good at systems, which I'm not. Mine are convoluted and take up lots of time, and she's organizing me and the business so that I can have more time to step back and look at things. I guess from the beginning, my advice would be, from the beginning, factor in time for yourself, whether it's a day off a week or whatever it is that you need, and turn everything off and don't respond and just be unavailable. And I think that's okay. Initially, I didn't think it was okay, but I've so come to learn that it has to be okay, because otherwise you can't, it's not sustainable.
Your tea is very delicious. We're drinking
as
it right
your
now.
Cookies.
As are, yeah, your cookies. Oh, also you could have a side cookie business. I'm guessing a huge part of your business's success is not just that it's grounded in awesome sustainability principles, but also that you've created a great product. And you must be really proud and of that.
Yeah, I am. Because of the feedback I get, I know that people really like it, and I know that the teas make a difference to a lot of people's lives, and so that makes me really proud. And you know, it's still a journey, there are still things that I can do, but it's good to be able to pay the mortgage, live a life doing something that I really love and that people really love.
And what is it about tea? Why tea?
I was born in England, so my family immigrated when I was 7. Tea is the answer to everything. There's no occasion where a cup of tea isn't warranted. And yeah, so yeah, tea has always been. Tea just is.
Tea just is. I like that. With Heke Homemade Herbals, it's not just about deliciousness, right? I mean, you do a bunch of blends that are harnessing the beneficial properties of the plants themselves.
Yes, so that's a big part of the business. I did some herbal medicine study. I do create teas that have amazing wellness benefits. I have a fabulous kind of sleep tea where really it does help people sleep. It breaks habits of people waking in the middle of the night. There are so many people that don't sleep well. And to me, if you're not sleeping well, all sorts of things fall apart. And those are the sorts of people that come to me at the end of their tether, like, I cannot sleep. Same with women going through perimenopause and things like that. There are pharmaceutical options, and then there's some cups of tea that can change your life. So, you know, you can't say too much about medicinal properties of teas, but you certainly, there's a lot of research and a lot of scientific research and a lot of historical research and anecdotal evidence that some cups of tea, some herbal teas, can bring great relief to many situations.
And the blending itself, obviously, so you're growing the leaves and drying the herbs and the flowers and so on, but then you're also blending them and coming up with different combos, and that must be an awesome creative process.
Yes, I love that. That's one of my favourite things, and in fact, that's probably the favourite part of everything, because I am a creator, and so I absolutely love that. I love putting combinations of herbs together, trying out the different ratios, coming up with what I think is an amazing blend. And then I have a group of tasters, and so my teas go out to them, and then I get feedback from them. So I have to like a blend first, then it goes out to them, and if they think it's good, it then goes out to the public, mm. and then if I get good feedback from them, then it's likely to stay as a blend. Mm. But I have over 50 blends at the moment, which is quite a lot, but I've actually got a whole lot more coming. I'm experimenting with coloured teas at the moment, so coloured naturally by flowers, and so I'm doing some magenta and some blue teas at the moment that are fabulous. They look absolutely amazing, and just working out the flavour profiles. Yeah, it's exciting. I love the creating is awesome.
Cool. And I guess that's partly why drying is so important, right? To make sure you retain those colours.
Yeah, the colour, the flavour, the texture, all of that's really important. Yeah.
That kind of comes back to the packaging again, because for you, one of the red lines of your packaging is you want it to be see-through for the customer-facing stuff, because you want people to be able to see, you know, it's a big part of the creative process behind the blends and your teas is what they look like.
It is. I have a fine art degree. That's my initial training, how things look as well as feel and all of that, and taste, obviously, with the teas. That's all really important. But I also think there are plenty of teas out there in New Zealand that are completely shut away in bags. They're highly branded. The herbs, the ingredients all come from overseas. There are tons of, and they're very expensive. There are tons of people doing that sort of thing. Mm. Mine's the opposite of that. So part of that transparent window, it's not just the physical being able to look inside. It's actually the transparency that's in the whole of my business, if that makes sense. Yeah. It's a symbolic window as well as a physical window. Yeah. But that window isn't plastic, and that is home compostable, and I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. But that was a hard process for a while until you found that relationship with plastic and how it does have this amazing property that it's see-through and high barrier.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, well, you need high barrier. You have to have something that's food safe. You can't have teas sitting there in something that's not. Otherwise, the moisture gets in, they would go mouldy. It was a great process to find the right kind of material, and I had to look overseas to get those bags made, which was definitely my last resort. But at the time, nobody in New Zealand could make what I wanted.
Yeah.
I've gone through over half of the supply that I ordered. I'm really hoping that before I get near the end of it, which is not that far away, that there will be somebody in New Zealand doing what I need. But currently there's nobody that I know of.
And I guess that's kind of one exciting thing about the bulk option that you offer, that if stores with bulk bins, for want of a better word, are ordering from you and they're going for that zero waste option, they can put your teas in a great big glass jar in their store.
Yeah, that's the ultimate for me.
Yeah.
I love that, and that's what I want to do a whole lot more of. Currently, people have come to me, so I haven't gone out trying to find anybody yet, but that's definitely on the cards for this year, is getting more refilleries. There are more popping up everywhere. I love that. It'd be great if there was one in every town, a refillery.
And not just stores as well, but you would prefer individuals who buy from you to only buy the packet if it's the first time they've tasted
tea and then buy a bulk option, or bring your own container, or send me a container or something like that. Those small packets are just for initial purchases, and after that it's really great if people buy the bigger, cheaper options that don't require that packaging.
Your teas, they are 100% organic.
Yes.
They're 90% New Zealand grown.
Yes.
They're very yummy. They look beautiful. They're well packaged. But they're actually not that pricey. So is that an important part of your business too?
It is. It's actually really interesting. Just this weekend, I had somebody else doing my market stall for me, which hardly ever happens. But a lady came, and she is a herbal tea connoisseur, and she buys and drinks a lot of herbal teas, and she had never seen mine before, so she was a visitor from out of town, and she was blown away, and she spent a long time at the stall and was really impressed and bought quite a lot of the teas. But she said these teas are way too cheap, and they are really affordable. and that's something that's really important to me. I would love to see organics and herbal teas mainstreamed. I'd like everybody drinking them. I think we would all be so much happier, so much better off. So affordability and accessibility are kind of paramount, and I don't want to change that, so I'm not interested in putting up prices.
Plans on the horizon for doing any more films? Put all the films up on Vimeo now so people can watch.
Yes, people can watch them for free. So yeah, they're all up on Vimeo and free. So if you have young children, the Ours, our New Zealand Nature film, and Our Creative Children are really cool to watch. And Our Green Roadie, you might want to watch it in sections, but it's pretty amazing. And we've got a couple of other ones that have not been seen that didn't ever go out onto DVD, so a couple of short films, one about a mud brick business, Solid Earth, in Nelson, and another interviewing Jade Temipara of Handover Ahundi, and they're both really worth watching, really cool wahine toa doing amazing things.
Awesome, check them out.
Yeah, check them out, yeah.
Well, it was lovely to share this kōrero with you over a
Thank you.
So, yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah, thanks so much. And thank you for everything you're doing. Yeah. And we hope everybody's going to their computers now to look up Pake Homemade Herbals and your films. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thank you. You guys are awesome.